I'm Ryan Lambert from EP Rinkside.
I'm Sean McAdoo from The Athletic.
And let's start out this way. A lot of talk about ESPN and hockey broadcasts in general this week, right? And so I'm watching last night, well, I'm waiting for the main event, the Leafs-Oilers game, which we'll get to in a minute. I'm watching Sens-Rangers. Because, I don't really like myself very much, you know?
Sure.
And was it the Rangers now that I say that? It was,
Sens,
right?
Sens were playing the Avalanche.
Avalanche, that's what it was. I was flipping back and forth between the two. Anyway, they're teasing the entire first intermission of that Sens-Avs game. We're gonna talk about the best goal in NHL history.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, okay. I'm down for that. And the reason they were doing that was that it was the 19th anniversary of the Ovechkin Coyotes goal where he does the little barrel roll on the ice and scores, and
it's very cool,
an insanely cool goal.
Yep.
And they show a clip of, like, they clearly at the media tour at the beginning of the year asked Marner and Nick Suzuki, I think it was, what's the best goal ever? And they both said the Ovechkin goal, you know? And then they said, okay, but what about what are ours? What are me, Kevin Weeks, and Steve Levy's, you know? What do we think? And I want to know, Sean, since you don't get ESPN up there, I want to know what you think they said. Each was, or, you know, one of the, was the best goal in the league history.
Did either of them go with the Bobby Orr classic?
Nope.
No. Okay.
Both more recent than that. I don't think I, you know, it's
yeah.
A big hint.
How recent are we talking?
One is old enough that I said that doesn't count. The league fucking barely existed at that point.
All right.
And one was from very recently.
Okay. The old one, I mean, was it the Mario Lemieux splits the defense against the North Stars in the final?
Yes, that was Kevin Weeks' pick.
Honestly, that's a good pick. That's a,
yeah, sure.
That's an excellent goal.
But as I said, you know, it predates the invention of goaltending, so how can I count it?
Yeah, well, it was kind of the early days of goaltending. But, yeah.
I don't agree.
And I'm just surprised Kevin Weeks would pick a goal that memorably ends with the goaltender not only getting scored on, but kicked right in the crotch.
That's right. Look, maybe he's a big Jackass fan, you know? And who isn't?
Yeah. As far as the more recent one, I don't know. I stopped watching hockey about mid-90s. So
that's smart.
Yeah, I'm assuming a Connor McDavid.
Correct.
Was it the one that he had against the Leafs a couple years ago where he kind of went start and stop and then went through the whole
team? No, yeah. That's my personal favorite McDavid goal, yeah. But no, it was the one against the Rangers last year.
Okay. I mean, you can pick a lot of McDavid goals. All right, that's not bad.
It isn't at all. Okay. I did hate that they didn't mention the Rick Nash goal. That's all.
Okay, yeah. Yep,
What's your favorite?
Like, if that one?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm amazed that they didn't go.
That goal's crazy.
I'm amazed they didn't go Bobby Orr or like the Mark Messier empty net goal because of the guarantee.
Which because it's ESPN.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, yeah, turn on the NHL Network. The game is probably on right now, but. I'll say my all-time favorite goal, as far as great goals go, the Doug Gilmour double spinorama in double overtime back in 93. Just because it was like Curtis Joseph was so good in that game. You're like, oh, it's going to take a miracle to beat this guy. And Doug Gilmour was like, I got it. I got one for you. So,
you saying like the early 90s, it's like, you know, at least around the invention of goaltending.
Yeah.
And now that I think about it, you're right, but it's like the invention of the bicycle, but it's the big wheel
that's
one
it.
In the front.
100%.
Know?
Yeah. It's like
a penny farthing there.
Dominic Hasek was in the league, but he was like a weird backup in Chicago. And
that's right.
You know, Broder had like played one game. Like it was getting there, but it was the Wright brothers. Like, hey, we made it 100 feet before we crashed.
Yeah, it broke all our legs.
Yeah, goalie made it three shifts without falling over. It's pretty much the same deal.
Playing the parade. So Leafs Oilers not on national TV last night. Is there anything more NHL than that?
Well, and here's the thing. Not only not on, you know, when you say national TV, you mean the United States.
No, I mean both national.
But also,
Canada. Because
in Canada as well, it was, and in fact, when I sat down to watch it last night, I had two different local channels or two different channels on my regular package that had the game.
Yeah.
One TSN, one Sportsnet, because the two teams have different, and neither one was available. I couldn't watch. Now, I was able to watch it because I have the center ice package, but
right.
I mean, they didn't occur to them that anyone might want to watch two of your five best players.
Maybe even three, depending on how you feel about Dreisaitl, right? Like, mm-hmm.
I was going like Matthews, Marner, Nylander as the top three, and then
sure, of
maybe
course,
McDavid
yeah.
is
absolutely. It's crazy. It is, I think, a good advertisement for ESPN Plus or whatever the Canadian equivalent thereof is.
Mm-hmm.
But like you shouldn't have to be paying an extra $9 a month or whatever the number works out to. Again, I don't know in Canada. I think it's $9 for if you have the full Disney package where you're getting Hulu and Disney Plus as well in the US. I think it's $9 or something. I don't know. But you shouldn't have to pony up that kind of money to see, like you said, two of the best players, maybe ever playing one another head to head.
Yep. In a game where one team is absolutely on fire and the other one's kind of flatlining. And I mean,
well, what I was going to say is it's like a super crucial game for both of those teams because of their playoff positions, right? The other thing I wanted to say about the ESPN Plus real quick is Sean Shapiro, who works for EP Ringside, got a quote from one of the ESPN PR people saying it was there was a big controversy because people were like, oh, they're deleting games after 30 days off ESPN Plus. And people were very concerned that this was going to be like a big new policy change that is bad for consumers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean Shapiro got a quote from an ESPN PR person being like, yeah, it was a technical glitch. We recently caught it. And all of the games for this season will be available until August 1st.
Right, which is good news, but it was a little weird because it was Tim Burke who initially reported that they were being taken down.
Yeah,
and he knows what he's doing. He's not a
sure.
He's not a guy that just makes stuff up. But I guess apparently he got it from he contacted support, and support said we looked into it and we're told that this is a new policy and apologies, and then. When the story started to gain traction, immediately it was like, oh, no, it was a glitch. We caught it, and it's going to be fixed. So whether that's actually the case or not, it sounds like it's a happy ending if you're
the power of complaining.
Who, yeah.
But, yeah, I wanted to see that or get that out there just because look, like the number of people who are like, you know what, man, I'm gonna go back and watch that Jets-Islanders game.
I was surprised at the number of people who were seemingly very bothered by this.
Right. Yeah.
A backlog where it's like, look, man, I'm a diehard Minnesota Wild fan, but I'm a little behind on the latest season.
No spoilers. I'm still
no
in November.
I haven't caught up. I'm going to binge it all starting with November. What? Wait a second. Why is it not there? But yeah, I don't know, man. It's apparently a thing.
Yeah. But yeah, the other thing is, as you alluded to, the other thing coming out of this game is the Leafs kind of stink, man.
They've been bad lately, for sure. And even overall, not great. Blowing a lot of leads. I think this was the third or fourth straight game that they had a lead, maybe even in the third period.
Lost,
I think it's three in regulation and four total. Yeah, they're and he's coming on the heels, I should say, because losing a game to the Edmonton Oilers in Edmonton, where you're up 2-1 early in the third, is not shocking. The Oilers are a wagon right now, but it's coming on the heels of Saturday night. They're up 3-0 on Colorado. They lose that game in regulation, and then they're playing Detroit, who aren't even all that good, but have now basically caught the Leafs in the standings, and they blow another third period lead.
Yep.
And lose. And so now it happens again. So, I mean, hey, it's the sort of thing where if you were allowed to ever change anything in this league, they probably would, but unfortunately you're not. You just, you draft some players, you hire a coach, and that's it. You just stay with that forever. So, Leaf fans are not happy, man. Sheldon Keefe's been trending on Twitter for like a week.
Yeah. Quick trivia question for you.
Oh, good.
Last 26 games. 26. How many have the Maple Leafs won in regulation?
The last 26 games, I'm going to say they've won 9 in regulation.
It's 8. Yeah, you were close.
Yeah, they're
12-8-6, which is a perfectly good record. But yeah, four of those wins coming in a shootout or overtime.
It's very weird. Like, they've become that team that just gets to overtime almost every game, except for the last few, which is maybe where the panic is coming in. But yeah, regulation wins. The Maple Leafs are behind a lot of teams that you don't consider good teams. One regulation win ahead of Ottawa, who had another disaster last night, and one ahead of Minnesota, who was another. And then the only other teams they're ahead of are San Jose, Montreal, Columbus, Chicago, Anaheim. So like the big five of being not very good.
Now you notice, you mentioned the Sheldon Keefe thing, and you notice the two teams that are right around them in regulation wins. They fired their coach.
They did.
Right?
Yeah.
And yet Sheldon Keefe, he gets to just keep going out there going, I don't know what's going on. This is crazy.
I mean, it's the team that they played last night literally has a new coach.
Mm-hmm.
And some teams that are ahead of them, at least in the regulation wins category, Edmonton and St. Louis, fired their coaches. And yet here is... I don't know, man. I mean, it's becoming more and more clear to me. And go ahead and save this clip for when the Leafs win the Stanley Cup, and you can play it back to me and tell me it aged well and all that stuff. But
yeah, in 2096, that's right. Let them know.
Well, it'll still be the same core and the same coach by then. It's becoming very clear in hindsight that the right time to move on from Sheldon Keefe was after the Montreal series. They should have that should have been a firing offense for all sorts of people, including people on the roster. I don't know. What's the old say? Like, the best time to do it was yesterday. The second best time is right now. I don't know, man. The downside is that the chances are that if they fire Sheldon Keefe, they just hire Guy Boucher, who's like a just a guy coach. So does that make you any better?
Yeah.
Or do you bring in a guy like Craig Berube or Dean Evason or someone like that who's going to, let's just say, change the temperature of that dressing room, you would imagine?
That would be, I think, the only move you could make. You tried the player-friendly coach that everybody likes him. That's why he still has the job. And you bring in someone to, like, kick in the door, throw a garbage can, and say, listen up, fuckers.
I gotta be honest, man. I am more and more talking myself into Craig Berube as Leafs.
Yeah, why wouldn't you be? Dean Evason too. Same idea. Yeah.
But I mean, people know my history with Berube, right? Like, briefly, my favorite player a million years ago. So the idea of him coming back to Toronto, not just as a coach, but as, you know, remind me, what happened the last time a team hired Craig Berube in the middle of a season? I mean, a guy who literally, and you know, Dean Evason is a similar sort of guy, but like can sit there, like he's literally can sit there in front of the team going like, look at my messed up face. This was how I stayed in the league.
Right.
You know, and you're going to tell me that, you know, Austin Matthews gets cross-checked in the ribs and you're all going to just stand around and look at each other. I got to say, man, and I don't even think Sheldon Keefe's a bad coach. I think Sheldon Keefe will coach another team after the Leafs and probably have success. But I'm more and more getting on the let's bring in Craig Berube, partly because I think he's a good coach. I think a change would send a good message, and partly because I'm so sick of this Leafs team that the idea of bringing in someone who will make them sad kind of appeals to me. Like I can't ever remember as a sports fan having a team where I liked as many of the individual players, but I hate this team. I'm just so sick. I'm so sick of this group, this collective. And in a way that makes me like the typical, like I'm a terrible fan because it's like, I hate this team. Please make changes. And they're like, how about we change this? And I'm like, not that guy. I like him. Right. Like I go down the list and then I'm like, but you know what? If you feel like you can move Cali Yankrock, but other than that, I like everybody else above him on the roster. And it's like, you're not helping, but I don't like the coach anymore. I've had it. Let's go.
Yep.
Craig Berube. I'm in.
You got to do something at this point, man. This bum Detroit Red Wings team.
Yeah.
You're going to let these guys back into the playoff picture? That sucks, man. I'm sorry. I had a friend.
The Red Wings, just so people know, are 1 point behind the Leafs. The Leafs have a game in hand. The Lightning are 1 point back. The Leafs have two games in hand.
Right.
The Penguins, who are currently outside of a playoff spot, are 2 points back with the same number of games played as are Washington. And then, you know, you've still got New Jersey lurking around, which we all assume are going to eventually find their game, but maybe not.
Well, so
the Leafs could miss the playoffs is what I'm saying.
Very easily. Absolutely. So to your point, I have a friend who is a big Maple Leafs fan, and he's like, can we just do a coach trade with Pittsburgh? Because, you know, Kyle Dubas would love that shit if you could pull it off. And, you know, Sullivan is you know, a coach that's well-liked by his longtime players. He's like a coach who won you two Stanley Cups, of course. But also, you know, he has a reputation of being a bit of a hard ass and not like a Craig Berube, you know, he might throw Mitch Marner through a plate glass window kind of a coach. You know what I mean? And I was like, my perception of the Penguins is that they have played pretty well lately. And then I looked it up. I want you to tell me what you think, rank in the league, the Penguins' record is since like around the end of November, around U.S. Thanksgiving.
Oh,
by points percentage.
See, I would have said somewhere around like 10th. I thought they were doing.
They're tied for 7th.
Okay. Yeah.
And so this is the tricky part for them. The team that is 5th is the Flyers. The team that they are tied with is the Devils. The team immediately below them is the Hurricanes.
Okay. So
that's why it's tough for the Penguins. But they're 12-5-6 in their last 23 games. That's a 107-point pace.
Dude, if trading coaches was allowed, I don't believe it is in the NHL.
It is not, no.
That would be a fantastic deal. For the Leafs.
Not for the Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, but you're right. Like, Dubas loves Sheldon Keefe. And it probably would have been, like a great move. There were points in the season where maybe you could have done it. It gets you out of contracts. Like, you know, you're not stuck paying your guy. Oh, man. That's a great idea. And the thing is, if, you know, people are wondering, it is allowed in other leagues. In fact, we're into that in the NFL it's that time of year. You can trade coaches, including coaches who aren't even working for you but are still under contract for draft picks and what have you, but not in the NHL. Happened once in the 80s, and I don't believe, I believe was relatively quickly written out of the rule book.
Yeah. The other thing I guess we should talk about with regard to Leafs Oilers is everybody in Western Canada is insanely good right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, everyone is either insanely good or the Flames, who are pretty good lately.
And they're getting a lot of points. Well, I guess you'll say that about the
7-3 in their last 10, have won 4 straight. Not into a playoff spot yet, but close.
So yeah, to your point, going back to that same I think it's November 25th or whatever, thereabouts. This is the top 3 in the league in points percentage. Edmonton 857. Winnipeg 750, Vancouver 717. That's 1, 2, and 3 in the league.
Mm-hmm. God bless the Canucks, man. They are the Canucks are having one of the funniest seasons ever.
It's insane. It's crazy.
And I know there's Canucks fans who are like mad that, oh, we're not getting enough respect. Like, just enjoy this. This should be so fun to watch a team just, you know. You're like, I don't think you guys can sustain a 104 PDO. You know what? You're right, Sean. Why don't we try on 105? What do you think of that? Do you like that?
104.7 in the last month and a half.
You want us to go 106 there? You know? Just let us just... The Canucks are just like... They're turning the PDO dial and looking back at the audience to see when they start
Yeah,
clapping.
It's like when a cartoon character gets caught smoking. I'm thinking, I guess, of Bobby Hill specifically, and Hank makes him smoke the whole pack.
Yep.
And except they're like, I love smoking this many cigarettes.
Yep.
This rocks. Yeah, so let's good. Keep smoking them.
Oh, God. I mean, and you know, Winnipeg, it might be Canada's time in the Western Conference. What odds would you put on a Canadian team coming out of the West right now? If you had to, you get those 3 Canadian, well, 4. Well, because Calgary could make the playoffs.
Versus
Colorado, Dallas, Vegas.
Coming out of the Calgary. West, like, so just making the cup final.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not like fun. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you know, two of the teams of the 8 teams in the West have a good chance of doing it, but
I go higher than that, but
yeah.
Less than 50, I still think. But I mean, Edmonton alone. I know, like, Dom's model has them now as the Stanley Cup favorite, and it's hard to argue too much.
Well, I'll tell you what Money Puck says. Vancouver by itself, 26%.
To make the final.
To make the final, yeah. Edmonton up to 14. And Winnipeg, 8.8. So you're right around.
Okay. I'm surprised 49. I mean, Winnipeg's got the tougher path. And the thing with Winnipeg is, as good as they've been, they're 1 point on top of the Central. With a couple of games in hand. But if they lose their grip on number one, that means you're playing Colorado or Dallas.
Right. Well, so the thing is...
And probably then the other one next. So that's a really tough path. Whereas Vancouver has put some distance now between the Knights and the Kings. I don't know what is happening.
Oh, for sure.
The Kings. I mean, they're yeah. a disaster lately.
Yeah. I mean, not to get too far into it, but their offense has just disappeared. I did the PDO cast last week, and I was looking at some numbers, and I think in the first I can't remember the exact numbers now, but in the last, like, this stretch where they're losing constantly, they have more goals or more games where they had like under 3 expected goals than they had in the entire season up until this bad run started.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on with mm-hmm. the offense. Like, I don't I guess I haven't watched enough Kings games that closely to, and this is where my beautiful ESPN Plus subscription would be working so well for me. But it's just like, yeah, they can't generate offense all of a sudden. And it's not like they have huge injuries or anything. Like, Kevin Fiala is the only guy who's been out, and, you know, he's been out for longer than this has been a problem. So
The Winnipeg Jets still... Remember for a while we were like, oh, they have this crazy streak of not giving up more than three goals in a game? That streak is still going on, but they have now gone over a month, 13 games, without giving up more than two goals in a game.
Yeah. I said Kevin Fiala, I meant Victor Arvidsson. That's my bad.
Yep.
That's the problem. Kevin Fiala is healthy, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. No, the Jets, this streak is crazy. And if you go back to, like, not even just two goals, but, like, two goals in regulation, I can look this up very quickly. But it's obviously even longer than that. Like, it's an unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because the third goal, they lost to the Canadiens 3-2 in overtime.
Since the start of December.
But you would have to go back to
it's
the
21
Oilers.
Games. Oh, yeah.
That Oilers wagon lit them up in a 3-1 blowout. And since then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good Lord. And again, yeah. Like it's obviously you get a streak like this. There is some luck. There's, you know, it's a hot streak. It's not sustainable long term. But you've got Connor Hellebuck. This isn't, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky getting hot right in the right time. This is the best goalie in the league.
Yeah.
Doing best goalie in the league things, or best top three, or whatever you want to.
Yeah. Put now, you know, people I think remember he was bad like in October and, yep. and early November. Right?
Well,
they
gave up four or five goals each of their first four games, and then a couple more times after that in their first 10. But then after that, they were like, this, we don't like this.
First 11 games, 892.
Yep.
Since then, let's see here, 941. This guy's pretty good, my opinion. Now, I had to fill out like our, you know, mid-season awards thing. And I didn't put Hellebuck like super high. I think I did have, he did show up on my heart ballot. I didn't have him super high up there, but if it keeps going like this, man, I don't know how you leave him out of your top two or three, mm-hmm. at least. It's crazy how good he is.
I mean, a guy plays this good on a team that you, by you I mean the voters, who are the hockey writers, that you didn't think was going to even make the playoffs. If they finish first in the West, if they win the President's Trophy.
It could happen. It could really happen.
Absolutely could happen. It's fun, man. That could be... It's like the Western playoffs are just going to be like a Smite Division reunion. Let's go. Get all an right. Edmonton-Calgary series in there. Vancouver hasn't played Edmonton since like 92, I don't think.
That's cool.
Winner plays the Jets in the conference final. Winner of that goes on to face the Leafs in the draft lottery. I don't know.
All right, why don't we take a break, and then we'll be right back to talk about some goaltending situations. This week's episode of Puck Soup is brought to you by Bespoke Post. And folks, you can make this year your most awesome yet with a box of awesome from Bespoke Post every month. The box of awesome is filled with carefully chosen gear from the best small brands around the world. This month, Bespoke Post sent me a touchless mist sanitizer, which is exactly what it sounds like. You just kind of wave your hand over it and it like mists hand sanitizer onto it. It's pretty cool. We put it in the bathroom. We're making great use of it so far. So that's just one of the many great products I've gotten over the last several months from Bespoke Post. And they got all kinds of stuff. They got stuff that'll help you eat and drink more awesome, it says here. Dress and travel more awesome. Explore more awesome. Bespoke Post Box of Awesome has you covered. To get started, you take the quiz at boxofawesome.com, and your answers will help them pick the right box for you. It's free to join, and they release new items every month across a bunch of different categories. When you become a member, you'll have access to stellar discounts across a plethora of products. We're talking 30% off or more sometimes. Plus, with each box of awesome, you're supporting a small business. 90% of everything that comes in your box is from a small up-and-coming brand. It's free to sign up. You can skip and cancel anytime. And here's the thing, folks. Right now, you can get a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code PUCK20 at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code PUCK20 for a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment. That's boxofawesome.com, code PUCK20. All right, we're back, and let's talk about Elvis Merzlikins demanding a trade. This guy wants out of Columbus.
Did he demand a trade, or did he kind of say he wanted out, but not? Because I feel like he denied demanding a trade.
And then he said later that he wanted a trade.
Oh,
like
he did. Okay.
He said it like, yeah, like after they, who did they beat?
He gave that like pro wrestling promo afterwards where he was talking about being mad and what did he say? I'm going to pull the monster out or something like that.
Yeah, and you know what? When awkward. when he said that, you would not believe the game, the statistical game he had where he said that. That's right. 27 of 30 he stopped. Here's the monster. 900. Dead even. Mm-hmm. Okay, man. But yeah, I think – oh, wait – no, he said, okay, Merzlikins clarifies comments, says he requested trade from Blue Jackets.
Okay.
After my last interview, everyone knows I requested a trade. Everyone was still here playing for me and blocking shots for me. This was awesome. I really appreciate my teammates. It wasn't an easy game for me, and they made me feel easier.
So it says here, here being Portsy's latest piece on The Athletic, after Monday's game, Merzlikins said that he did request a trade and that he appreciated how his teammates responded, blah, blah, blah. His agent, Jerry Johansson, said Merzlikins called him shortly after that interview and told him he misspoke to the assembled media.
Okay, see, I didn't see this. So this is like the second or third, like, oh, he demanded a trade. Well, no, he actually didn't. Well, he did, and he said he did, and then he said, mm-hmm. No, I didn't. Okay.
So... In any event, this feels like semantics. This feels like he clearly
absolutely.
Wants out. The Blue Jackets, I guess, are, and this again, according to Aaron Porcelain, were, this is Aaron's words, fed up after Merzlikins pulled himself out of a December 29th game against Toronto after the first period due to illness. And they said it's the third time in 2 years that he has done that.
Wow.
So I
guess you don't see that very often. That's
yeah. True. The Blue Jackets feel like they're ready to move on.
Sure.
Merzlikins clearly wants to move on. The only problem here is that he is signed to a significant contract and his numbers are not good. So it's great that everybody wants a trade, but the problem is you also need one of the other 31 teams in the league to want a trade.
Right.
That's going to be your issue.
So the thing is, he's actually been pretty good this year.
Better than you would think is how I think I keep phrasing it.
He's been above average in terms of save percentage, which on a team like that, that's really all you can ask for. I think the league average is something like 902, 904, and he's 906 for the year. That's as good as it's going to get for a guy like Elvis Merzlikins, I think. You know, in any significant number of games. Going into this season, his career save percentage was 906. So he's basically right where he always is. And as you say, the problem is career 906, he's signed for, I believe, another 3 years at $5.4 million.
Three full years after this.
Yeah, so that right, sure, yes.
2027 is the expiration of that contract.
That is tough to move, and, you know, I feel like this happens a lot with Columbus, where people are like, you know, he's actually pretty good, and then, you know, you get him out of Columbus. It's not the first time, and it's like, no, he actually isn't good.
Yeah.
He kind of sucks.
The Seth Jones situation.
I'm talking specifically about goaltenders, but sure, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even... And, you know, like...
Senators could probably tell you a thing or two about that.
That's what I was going to say. You don't have to look too far north of Columbus to find a great example of don't give this guy a lot of money in years.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, is he more reliable than a lot of the other names that have been put out there of late in terms of like, you know, the goalie market... X, Y, and Z, they need help, and these are the, you know, career 1B guys that are going to be available, and what should they give up for them? Maybe you say Elvis Merzlikins is in that class. I might mm-hmm. go so far as to say he's a step below that class, but I just don't see how anybody's going to make this work in season. Maybe in the summer, it's a different story. But in season, why would you take such a huge financial risk for 3 years and give up whatever Columbus is? Because if Columbus is asking for, you know, just give us a seventh round pick or something, that's one thing. But then you're like, okay, and you get to eat 25% of his salary.
Yeah, that's going to be it, right? Is anytime we get into, well, you know, the cap hit and everything, okay, how much salary will they eat?
Right.
Because if they, and I'm not saying they would do this, but if they say, we're looking to move him, we'll eat 50%. So now it's a 2.7 cap hit.
I can live
you
with that.
You roll the dice on that.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Even if the guy's playing 35 games a year for you as a above average backup, that's not an unreasonable number.
Although he has said he wants to be a starter.
Well, I want a lot of things.
Sure, of course. But you also don't want him coming in and you're like, and of course, here's the guy who is going to be starting in front of you, and he's already, let's say he, based on this, doesn't have the reputation of a guy who takes things well and will maybe pull himself out of a game or three if he's not feeling up to it. Yeah. The other thing about this is Elvis Merzlikins, 10-team no trade list. So even if your team wants him and has the assets to get him out of Columbus with salary retained or whatever, you know, they're taking a bad contract back, something like that, he still has to say yes. It's crazy.
Relatedly.
Yep.
I had a piece today where I just kind of made mention in a throwaway line that, like, hey, we all assume Jarmo Kekäläinen's getting fired in the offseason.
You gotta assume.
And I had a few people go like, whoa, where did that come from? Like, are you getting a scoop here, or you got some? And I was just like, no,
look at the standings, brother.
Look at the standings and the fact that, remember, the owner after the Babcock thing basically gave the press conference where he was like,
yeah,
I would make even more changes if I could, but I feel like now's not the time.
These guys love stability, huh?
Oh, stability. So, yeah, I'm like, yeah, like we're all assuming that. And, you know, I bring that up because obviously Kekäläinen's the one who signed him to that deal. Signed him in 2021, so a year early.
Right.
You know, what could go wrong?
Yeah. It's
when he had 1 year at $4 million left, and the Blue Jackets were like, nah, we got to lock this guy up long term.
So let me ask you this. Who would you rather have, him or Jacob Markstrom, who is signed for 2 years after this one at $6 million per? And he's having a great year. He's having a Vezina caliber year the way things are going right now. And I think a lot of people might be surprised to hear that, but you can check the stats. It's crazy how good he's been on a team that stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was Kevin Weeks started the rumor by basically just like tweeting out a picture of Jacob Markstrom.
Okay.
And Markstrom has a no move clause.
Right.
That's the that's the trickier part than even Merzlikins. And I believe it was Elliot said, like, they wouldn't even go to Markstrom without being really sure that it was a team he wanted to go to and that team was coughing something up big time.
Yeah. And this is where I'm going to take the qualifier off. I have no insight into what goes on in an NHL front office or the dynamic of player management. But this just makes me roll my eyes so much. Like, yeah, dude, you have a no movement clause. Okay, we're still allowed to talk to other teams. And we're still allowed to approach you and say, like, hey, this team is showing serious interest. Is it even worth us going down this road? Is this something you would give some thought to? And you're allowed to say no. That's what the clause in your contract means. But, like, it's not this idea that, like, you've got to tiptoe around this thing and that to even broach the subject is this horrible thing to the point that, again, it got raised on, I want to say it was Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday, you know, somebody was, it was Ron McLean and Kelly Rudy, I believe, were saying, like, if you have a no move clause, teams shouldn't even be able to approach you. Like, that's it. It should just mean you are not getting traded, period. They're not even allowed to talk about you with other teams. And it's just like, no, man. Like, you have.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is cut to, smash cut to, Kelly Rudy has Sean in his crosshairs. Like, Sean's crossing the street, yeah. And you're just, you know, POV sniper scope.
Yep.
He's going to be compromised to a permanent end by Kelly Rudy.
Maybe. But, like, first of all, if I'm a player and I haven't, like, imagine you played for, like, the Blue Jackets with no move clause,
pass.
Right? And you're just like, and they're like, sorry, man, we legally cannot even trade you. I mean, it'd be wild. No, like, there is nothing. First of all, the Markstrom rumors are out there. So I'm sure he's aware of it. But I don't know. To me, there should be nothing wrong with a team. Yeah, go ahead. Talk to other teams about him and then approach him. Obviously, try not to do it publicly. But approach him and say, hey, we think it might make sense to make a move. These three teams have approached us. You have a no-move clause. You hold the power here, but is this something you're open to? And, people treat it – I guess the thing is people treat teams – they treat it as like approaching your significant other and being like, what if we did break up? You know, I'm not saying we should, but what if we did? What if I did start dating so-and-so instead? And then, you know, obviously they're going to be like, what the hell, man? And it's, but I don't view it that way for players.
No.
No,
of course not.
Okay. Thank you for making me feel like I'm not crazy.
It's just the thing of they have to come and ask you if you want to go get traded somewhere. And I think the Calgary approach of, like, we're not going to go to him with, like, if you're the Devils and you're like, we'll give you a third round pick for Jacob Markstrom.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bother going to Markstrom with that. But if it's a quote unquote serious offer, mm-hmm. and you think it's a team that he would want to play for, you know, like, you're not going to be like, how would you feel about playing?
But also, pick
a bad team.
I'm not
playing for the Sharks this year. No thanks. Yeah. Fuck off. Right.
I'm also not going to go to him only after I have a completely fully negotiated deal, because as these guys love to tell us, these trades are so complicated. They take months and months of work to figure out.
For sure.
And then go to him and have him be like, no, I'm not going to New Jersey. Get the hell out of here. Like, I could have told you that 2 months ago and saved you a lot of trouble. But I don't know. I don't get the psychological management that apparently goes into this. And I'm sure there is a lot, and this is probably one of those things that is one of the many things that is so much easier to do from your couch. But yeah, absolutely, shop them around. And as far as your question, who would I rather have? Jacob Markstrom, 100 times out of 100.
Yeah, overall. Even with the variance in quality and the age being
the age. Yeah, I mean he's got 2 years. You get him this year, he's, like you say, having a borderline Vezina quality.
He's been awesome this year, yeah.
And you get him for 2 more years after this, which is probably about right when you're trading for somebody. Like, you don't want necessarily someone who's just a rental, but you also want to be able to,
yeah,
like, have, you know, you, if he plays next year and he's not as good, then you got 1 more year to figure out which one's the real guy, or buy him out, or, you know, I've made this point in a few places. The Flames, to me, are the most fascinating team heading towards the deadline. Not just Markstrom, but all of the UFAs that they
pending have. UFAs, yeah, of course.
We've talked about it before with Craig Conroy, the calling a shot. I will not let another Johnny Gaudreau situation happen. All right, man. Easy to say that in May. What about now? Because we just said it, the Flames have been playing good. They're back in the playoff mix.
They are.
If they are 3 points in the playoffs at the deadline, what do you do if you're Craig Conroy?
Oh, they're not selling. No, absolutely not.
But then do you go and re-sign these guys? Do you give
Elias Lindholm his
$9 million? Do you lock in this core and then?
I hate to relitigate this because I feel like we've said it on 3 or 4 episodes over the course of this season so far. But, like, you cannot look at this team and go, look, if we just get a Vezina quality season from Jacob Markstrom, we're gonna really commit to a team that's about to finish seventh in the West and fourth or fifth in their division. And that would be crazy to me. But the history in Calgary across multiple general managers is that that's exactly what they'd fucking do. So who knows? Mm-hmm. But if I fully have control of it, that I'm making the decision of like, no, we're selling high on every, as high as you reasonably can on every single one of these fucking guys.
I feel like you could sell high because you look at these trade boards that all these sites are putting out, including The Athletic. It's all Flames at the top.
Yeah.
You could own the market right now.
Mm-hmm. Sure. No, they have a guy that's worth trading for at every position.
An extraordinarily rare opportunity for a really forward-thinking GM to...
I just don't know if the ownership lets him do it. That's all.
Good point. Yep.
That's all. Let's quickly go through all the other all-stars got named this week. I'll read them very quickly. Willie Nylander, Cale Makar, Elias Pettersson, Leon Draisaitl, Mitch Marner, JT Miller, Morgan Riley, Brock Besser, Thatcher Demko, Sergei Bobrovsky, Alexander Georgiev, and Jeremy Swayman. Anybody stand out that you want to talk about real quick?
Lots of Leafs, lots of Canucks. The Leafs, not surprisingly, because they are the host team and, you know, tends to be much more interest there. Plus, it's a big market. Vancouver, maybe a little bit surprising that they got that many guys in, but why not? I guess it's interesting to some extent that Swayman gets in over Allmark.
Well, Allmark is temporarily hurt, but I think it's kind of inarguable that Swayman's had a better season. Mm-hmm.
It's just one guy's the reigning Vezina winner.
Oh, I understand. Yeah. No, I mean,
I feel like maybe, and God help me for if this is viewed as in any way disparaging to the patron saint of 200-foot hockey, but I feel like maybe we all, in hindsight, overreacted to Patrice Bergeron leaving a team that had a Vezina winner as its second best goalie. Sure. And we were all like immediately like Boston's missing the playoffs.
Well,
whoops.
So the thing about that is this is the Bruins, if you go full season, expected goals at 5-on-5, what do you think their number is?
I do not know.
49.9.
Really?
Yep. And you wouldn't know it from their record. No, you wouldn't know it from the way they get talked about. But this is a team that, you know, they're not the Canucks in terms of PDO or anything like that, but 932 save percentage at 5-on-5. I feel like maybe, you know, you could make a very strong argument that number is sustainable. They have a number of really good defensemen.
Yep. And two very good goaltenders.
And a bunch of forwards who are not Patrice Bergeron, but very good defensively. Right.
Yep.
And they have some higher end offensive firepower, but I think it's pretty obvious that when the name brand forwards for Boston are off the ice, these guys are having a little bit of trouble.
Yep.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a brief tangent on the Bruins are worse than a lot of people think this season.
Okay.
That's all.
Fair enough.
Yeah, the only other name that really stands out, Morgan Riley, like I get why he's there, but come on now. And Georgiev, I'm sure this is still the case, but at the time they voted him in, he was a sub-900 goalie, which is just very funny.
Okay.
Even the fans are just like, well, wins though. Yeah, 896 right now.
Yep. He's got the wins.
Oh, right. Yeah, Annan played last night.
And he's playing a ton, to the point where that was interesting, right? That the Avalanche gave him the full day off.
Yeah,
not a backup. Like, didn't which you're, it's surprising teams maybe don't do. Obviously, most teams don't carry three goalies, but a lot of teams, you know, if you have the AHL team nearby or anything like that, like just don't come in. Don't make the guy suit up and sit on the bench. Like, give him the full day.
Last night was Annan's first game of the season, so I don't think they're in the business, generally speaking, of carrying three goalies. Yep. He Annan has not played a minute before last night. So, yeah, they're an interesting team too. They're right up there with the Penguins and all those teams in the you know, since Thanksgiving win percentage or points percentage thing. But again, the way they get talked about is kind of like, what's wrong with the Avs? And it's like, not really anything. Goaltending, I guess, is the answer. The answer is they have a team 896 save percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you want to say that's what's wrong with the Avs, how could you disagree? But Makar is on pace for like well over 100 points this season. No, well over, like 105 points or something like that this year. McKinnon is probably your heart pick if you're picking right now. Rantanen's having another great year. I guess the one bit of Avs news, I didn't have this on the rundown now that I think about it, is that it seems like Valeri Nichushkin's going to be out a while. He is back in the player assistance program.
Right.
It's a bummer.
But doesn't feel completely unexpected given the events of last spring.
Yeah.
I don't know that we know for sure that they're related, but we wish him the best.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, yeah, I don't have too much to say about all that. It's a tough situation. Now that I've brought the room down, the skills participants, they've named, I believe, 8 so far or 10, and there are going to be 2 more voted in by the players.
By the players, or the fans?
By the fans. Okay. I saw the word players on my outline, and so here we are. David Pastrnak, Nathan McKinnon, Cale Makar, Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, Jack Hughes, Nikita Kucherov, Austin Matthews, Willie Nylander, Elias Pettersson. Now, Jack Hughes is not going to be participating.
Hmm.
So I don't know. I guess in theory, the league will name a different guy who's not Jack Hughes, and the fans will continue their votes.
Yeah.
Probably the
other way around. Like the fans will name 2, and then the league will.
Sure. Okay. Pick, yeah.
You know, once Hughes. So honestly, this is a good mix. This is.
I agree. Yeah.
This is pretty much. I when you factor in the Toronto bias, which again they're the host team. This is pretty much the elite of the All-Stars. I kind of wondered if it would be that, if it would be the sort of thing where, like, you know, you'd have guys going like, nah, I don't really want to do it. And then it would be all the B and C tiers. But, other than, you know, Crosby is the name that kind of stands out as being missing.
Yeah. And even him, it's like, I don't know, because the way the format is, it's kind of like the decathlon or whatever this year.
Yeah.
Where, like, is Crosby going to be like, oh, I can't wait to do Fastest Skater. Now, it should be said.
Well, I'm sure Crosby doesn't want to do it, but.
Yeah. Well, I think it should be said, too, that, you know, this is for $1 million. So I think that is going to get the stars out of the woodworks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where they're just like, yeah, all you got to do is win this and we'll cut you a check for $1 million. Like, even if you're Connor McDavid, that's a pretty good bonus tacked onto the end of your, you know, biggest in the league salary or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not like, whoa, I can't believe they got this many elite level players. They're putting 7 figures on the line. So
Although I got to say, man, you know who the big winner in that is going to be whatever downtown Toronto establishment
sure.
players choose to go to afterwards, because that guy's picking up the bill.
Going to TGI Fridays.
Is there anyone in particular other than Crosby that you would really hope to see?
Really hope to see? I don't know. Like there are fun options for sure. Like, you know, like Sasha Barkov, what, you know, Matthew Tkachuk, like, well, I guess he's not even playing, right? Yeah. But yeah, I don't know that I'm like, damn, I gotta see Sebastian Aho in this. Like, it's such a good group already that I'm not like losing my mind.
They've got
all
the big names.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Other than Crosby, like you know, you could make Jack Eichel or someone like
Quinn Hughes instead of Jack.
Quinn Hughes taking Jack Hughes' spot, I think, would be very cool. I wouldn't mind seeing Hughes and McCarr in there.
McCarr's already in.
Oh, you're right. He's already in. So, yeah, put Quinn Hughes in. Quinn Hughes is the one guy I want to see. And obviously, Vancouver fans have been doing a good job of stuffing the ballot box already, so I wouldn't be surprised if he gets in. And I would also, on this in a similar vein, assume that Mitch Marner has a very good chance of being one of the players voted in.
Of course.
So, you know what? I hope Marner and Quinn Hughes get voted in, and then the league goes to Crosby and says, like, would you take the Hughes, the Jack Hughes spot? And if he says no, then you probably respect that. And
who's the Wild's all-star? Is it Kaprizov?
Kaprizov, I believe.
That'd be good.
Take that. Yep.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember if he was, like, the guy that they named. Although, who else are you going to name from that team this year, right? So yeah, I think that's a really cool, fun mix. I'm all in favor of it. That's for
sure. I'm kind of looking forward to it. Yeah, it would be. That could be good.
Yeah, no, you know, if you're gonna watch any skills competition, the one where the guys are actually gonna be trying really hard, I think.
Well, I mean, they'll be trying. Just the nature of it, like they'll be closer to full effort than the game itself.
No, that's what I mean. Like
that'll be.
You know, if you win the All-Star games, you get, you know, your slice of $1 million. If you win the skills competition, they're handing you the fucking big Ed McMahon check.
Yep.
You know, like that's what it's all about, man. These guys get competitive over like, you know, money on the board on like in like a February game where a guy's playing his old team, you know. They get up for that. A couple thousand bucks.
But I mean,
bucks.
They would try a lot harder if it was in Florida or Vegas or like a non-tax place. I mean, that's
you know,
the big thing.
I wonder if that would – like how that would work tax-wise. Because, you know, there are those cities that have the jock tax or whatever.
Because as people may know, the tax rate in Canada is 105%.
That's how it should be.
Damn Trudeau. Damn you, Trudeau. You wait till
this
me and
is
my
problem.
Friends get
the,
in our trucks. People are going to
the All-Star game has gone woke, I'm afraid. And we're going to be looking into this very strongly.
Yeah.
Why don't we take another break? We'll be back to talk about, I don't know, a couple more bits of news, I guess.
This week's show is brought to you by AG1. Taking care of your health is not always easy, but it should at least be simple. And that's why AG1 is a great solution for your health needs. You can take it every day. One scoop, mixed in water, once a day, every day, and gives you that extra little bit of energy, that feeling that you've done something good for yourself, gets you ready to go out and take on the day. Each serving of AG1 delivers your daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that is also powerfully simple. You can take it anytime during the day, whatever works for you. Personally, I'm a morning guy. I'm a first thing in the morning. Let's get it done. Let's get it out of the way. That is what they recommend for optimal nutrient absorption. But it doesn't have to be. Anytime during the day, you fill up your shaker, gets the cold water, your scoop of AG1, give it a good shake, you're set. You're all ready to go. And if you're running short on time, maybe you're a little bit behind schedule, you can't mix it all up before heading out. You don't have time for that the minute or two it takes to get it all ready. You grab a travel pack. You're all set. Still, each is an individual serving of AG1. Nice and easy to mix on the go, helping to ensure that you get those daily nutrients no matter what. If there's one product that I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why they've been a good partner on this show for as long as they have been. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/puck. That's drinkag1.com/puck. Check it out.
All right. Couple more items here. Sean, do you want to start by talking about Steven Stamkos not being traded? Julien Brisebois came out and said that very pointedly this week. Or do you want to talk about Chicago? Go ahead. So
yeah, speaking of guys not being traded, it's sort of the two ends. The Stamkos one is interesting because if people haven't followed the story, he's in the last year of his contract. The Lightning have been very clear that they are not interested in talking extension with him until after the season.
Right.
And he hasn't been super thrilled about that.
Correct.
So there's a bit of drama here. Like in he's the face of the franchise, the captain, quite possibly the greatest player in team history.
I think that's fair to say.
And, but the team is saying like, they're not saying you're gone after the year, but they're saying, you know, no extension talk. And he's not thrilled about that. And that has kind of naturally led to some speculation about whether he could be traded, especially if they are on track to miss the playoffs. Which they're not there yet, but depending on how the next month goes. But yeah, Julian Breezeball kind of shuts it down.
Here's the quote. I know as we get closer to the deadline, a popular and interesting topic is who's going to get traded and who won't get traded. Steven Stamkos isn't getting traded. We can put that one to bed. If anyone was speculating on that, that's not going to change between now and the deadline under any circumstances. I said all along, after this season, we're going to sit down and we're going to evaluate where we are as a team, where Steven is. We will see how we can make all the parts work. That's the quote.
Okay.
That's it. That's the quote.
So, I mean, that is...
Right.
To me, that's pretty decisive. It's pretty clear. It shuts down speculation. It probably makes sense for the team. I mean... Yeah, could you get a first-round pick for him as a rental, et cetera, et cetera? Yes, but I do think there is something to be said for saying, like, we're going to – if this is it, let him go out on his own terms.
Go down with the ship, absolutely.
My question would be – and again, this almost certainly involves the Lightning losing a few games and dropping back of the race. What happens if Steven Stamkos goes to Julian Breezeball and says, I'm open to a move? Either because he wants another cup or he wants to go increase his UFA value somewhere, or maybe he, out of some combination of that and a sense of loyalty to the team of saying, like, go ahead and get something for me. But it sounds like if that happened, it would be a behind-the-scenes thing, and this is – it's probably – I'm not a big fan, as people know, of GMs kind of immediately shutting ideas down, but – you know what? In this case, it makes sense.
Yeah, and as you said, they're still around the playoff picture, I guess you'd say. They're certainly within a few points of it. And the issue for them is they don't really have anybody else worth trading. Like, yeah, you could trade Tyler Mott or Austin Watson or Phil Myers or Calvin DeHaan. But, like, what are you getting for those guys? Like a fourth-round pick or something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the only other pending UFAs on the team. So if it's not Stamkos, it's probably not going to be anyone that moves the needle one way or the other. Like, they're not trading, Connor Sherry, right? Like, he's signed for three more years with a full no trade. Good Lord.
Well, that's it. Like, they're like, the other thing, though, with the Lightning is even if they're 4 points back of the playoffs, let's say, like, if the Islanders are 4 points back, well, maybe the Islanders aren't a great example because they've got Sorokin. But,
right.
You know, if the Capitals are 4 points back of the playoffs, you know what, man? Like, so what? You make the playoffs, finish eighth. You get swept in the first round. I know we said all this stuff about the Panthers too last year. So, you know, maybe that's the counter argument right there. But the Lightning have got the guys that nobody wants to play them in the first round. And Andrei Vasilevskiy hasn't been good this year, but it takes one good week and we'll all be like, oh, here we go.
He's back. So,
you know, I'm generally of the mindset that GM should be more aggressive looking for things to do, but I could see, I think it makes sense for the Lightning to be like, you know what? We've got two championships, three conference wins. We're going to let we're going to keep this group together as long as we can and until we have no choice and go down with the ship, like you said. I don't mind that.
Yeah, to me, like, I'm usually the first guy to be like, well, they should have traded Stamkos 2 months ago. You know what I mean? Like, why even bother? But, like, the way their roster is set up, it's a very different situation, right? They're just so locked in with this group, and I'm not even saying, like, historically we all understand about X, Y, and Z. I'm saying, like, this group is good. It's not as good as it used to be because of the way the cap works and, you know, COVID and all that and flattened the cap that, like, maybe they could have kept the band together a little longer. But, like, I don't know, man. To me, it's just, like, most of the guys on that are, like, that have been driving this team for years aren't fucking going anywhere. They have five red arrows on cap friendly.
Red arrow index is high.
And two more guys who are within a year or two of being a red arrow. Kucherov signed till 2027. Vasilevsky signed till 2028. Like,
and these guys are red arrow guys are not even the guys you would think.
Point Sorelli,
not Hedman.
Nick Paul, Brandon Hagel, Eric Chernak. Which, like, honestly, age-wise, those are the guys I guess you would want to have your red arrows, right? Like, the Point, I guess, is a little on the older side for that, and I guess so is Nick Paul. They're about the same age. But, like, you know, 25, 26, if you have a guy who's signed for 7 or 8 years, you know, at that point, like, that's not ideal, but that's deal-withable. Mm-hmm. You certainly don't want it for a guy who's 30, right? And they don't. They don't have anybody like that. Although, you know, Victor Hedman, this is a guy who's – his UFA is not this coming summer, but the next one. That'll be an interesting one because, you know, I'm kind of starting to lose his fastball a little bit, I think it's fair to say. And, you know, future first ballot Hall of Famer. He's making under $8 million, and he's going to be 34 or 35 when this contract expires. That'll be interesting to see what they do with him.
Yep.
But with all that having been said, that's why you keep Stamkos. Because, you know, the difference between having Stamkos, not having Stamkos, vibe-wise, is, I think, more important than whatever return you would get for, you know, how
yeah. You trade
like,
him.
He could get a good return, but, like, it's not going to be a great one. He's 33. Yeah. He makes $8.5 million against the cap. Like, there would have to be some serious gymnastics to make that happen. And also, he has a full no-move clause.
Right.
Right? So, like, you can't even probably.
So, he's not going anywhere unless he wants to.
That's right. Period. Yeah.
And also, keep in mind, part of the dynamic, part of the awkwardness of the situation is 2016, he got to go out, explore the market, and he came back to Tampa on what, at the time, people viewed as a below-market deal, certainly compared to what the Leafs or Habs or whoever else would have offered him. So yep. he showed his loyalty. He took less. I don't know, man. That's going to be an interesting one to watch.
It is, for sure. All right, the other bit of news here. Chicago has re-signed Nick Foligno and Jason Dickinson in the last few days here. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on, I guess, giving not a ton of money or anything, and certainly not a lot of term, to two guys where it's like, oh, you're logging in those guys for the rest of Bedard's ELC?
I guess here's what I'd say with Jason Dickinson. Like, hey, he had the career year in the contract year. He's not, how old is he?
He is 28, 29. Yeah.
So
he'll be 29 in July.
You got to have some players, man. And this team doesn't have players.
Sure.
So I don't have an issue with that. I mean, yeah, you could have moved him at the deadline, but I don't feel like there would have been an insane market for this guy. You didn't turn around and give him 6 years and just go, right. Oh yeah, this is who he's going to be. 2 years is about, you know, like I said, with Markstrom, right? Like if, 2 years, mm-hmm. I want my good player signed for 2 more years perpetually, and then I'm pretty happy. So I wasn't surprised at that. I don't have an issue with that. I was a little bit surprised at Nick Foligno.
Yeah, that is the more eye-opening one, yeah. I guess you would say.
If only because it just felt like when they brought him in that part of his job was to get traded at the deadline.
Yeah.
He is the sort of guy, and I say this from experience, he is the sort of guy that teams that think they're contenders overpay to get yeah, at the deadline, sure. Let's just
Absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely.
I think when they made that move, him and Corey Perry, right? You went, oh yeah, the 2024 deadline, that's who the Hawks will be trading for second round picks. And, you know, in the meantime, they come in and show some leadership and teach some of the young guys how to play. And I guess they decided they wanted to lock him in instead. Again, you need players. The Hawks do have lots of picks and lots of sure. prospects, whether it's enough is a question mark, but they do have lots of those guys. So at some point you need players. I'm a little surprised they made that choice, but I'm a lot surprised that they made that choice, but I can see some logic to it.
I think the thing that I'm surprised by, and look, I don't know if you heard, but the cap is going up, but they gave oh, Nick wow. Foligno a raise on his AAV.
Yeah.
At age 36. Like, that's what I was just like, okay, yeah, sure. If you can bring him back for like a million or two yeah. a year, mm-hmm. Sure. Oh, yeah, there's a good leadershipy guy. They're giving him $4.5 million.
And I guess, and part of this, I alluded to this, but as a Leaf fan, I felt like this guy was cooked in 2021. Yeah. So. Maybe he was he's okay been for much the Bruins better last since year. Then. Like, yeah, it's like I'm sort of still carrying that grudge, I guess maybe is the way to put it. So maybe I'm not giving him enough credit. And again, like it's some of this is what's the internal dynamic, right? If you're Kyle Davidson, maybe you sit down, you talk to some players, you talk to certainly Luke Richardson, and they go, "We love this guy."
Yeah, for sure.
This guy does everything right. He is the absolute gold standard of being a pro. And then you're sitting there going, all right, well, do I want that or do I want a second-round pick who has a 20% chance of helping me in 3 years? You know what? I'm going to keep this guy around. And they've got the cap room for now at least.
Well, so that is the thing, right, is if you look, I'm on their cap-friendly page right now. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 pending free agents.
They have nobody signed.
A lot of those guys are RFAs, as you might imagine, because they're a young team. And so, like, a lot of those guys will get new contracts. But it's not like they're going to be up against the cap anytime soon. But, or at least for next year. But my thing is, it's the second year for me that I'm just like,
yep.
Isn't like the last year of Bedard's ELC before he signs a $15 million a year deal? Like, isn't that supposed to be when you're kind of at least around the playoffs? Isn't that when you should be spending a bit of money?
And on, I mean, on guys who are good. Well, what do you think that negotiation looked like? Do you think they went to the Nick Foligno camp and said, "Well, we'd like to extend you to next year," and we're told, like, "No, it's got to be multiple years"? Would he have had that leverage, or was that a choice of?
I guess I could see that going either way. For me, if they're like, yeah, we actually need 2 years, I'm like, but you're Nick Foligno, right? Mm-hmm. Am I in the wrong room? Because I came in here for the Nick Foligno, the 36-year-old negotiation.
Yeah.
Jason Dickinson, 2 years. Look, he's 28. He's a good player having a good year. Nick Foligno, like, he kind of bucked a trend last year with Boston where it was like, yeah, he's actually pretty good. To me, I'm just like, yeah. I don't know what all these words necessarily mean all the time when people are talking about like fallacies and opportunity cost and all that. But I feel like the word opportunity cost has to be flying around here somewhere, right? This extra $2.5 million you're giving to Nick Foligno, couldn't that be spent somewhere better? Couldn't it? Is that what opportunity cost means? I don't really know. I'm not one of these business guys, you know?
That's because you don't rise and grind.
I certainly don't. I woke up at like 9:30 today. Yeah.
Next year, maybe not, but 2 years from now, sure. This is the sort of, if it was still allowed in the NHL and it's not, this would have been the great case to do the 1 year plus an option sort of deal.
Yeah.
But you can't. So he got his two. Hey, you know what? Nick Foligno, man, older guy, been a Warrior for a long time. Good job by him. Maybe that's the way to frame it.
Yeah. Hey, look, I never begrudge the player for getting the money. I just begrudge the team for being like, hey, we'll happily give you this one.
I will never begrudge players on another team from getting the money.
Sure, yeah. All right, that's about it for us this week. Why don't you hit him with some plugs, Sean? We'll get the hell out of here.
Find me at The Athletic. I have my annual tank index up today, and later this week I am bringing back the second edition of The Contrarian, where you guys are going to give me statements that should be impossible to argue against. I think the best one I got this time around was that Ray Bourque winning the Stanley Cup with the 2001 Avalanche was a good story. So you can watch me make the contrarian argument against that. And also check out, if you didn't see it, I tweeted it out, the podcast that I did with Will Arnett, where we got to hang out and talk about the old school Leafs and how much we hate Harold Ballard and how much we love Wendell Clark and all of that. You can find it on my Twitter. It's the name of the podcast is Owned. It's hosted by Rex Chapman, the NBA guy. And Will Arnett, in addition to being Batman, is a diehard Leaf fan, and he's a real one. He's not he knows his stuff. But it was a very fun conversation, and you can go listen to that.
Very cool. For me, go to eprinkside.com. You sign up for an annual subscription. You use the code ILOVEEP. They'll give you 15 months for the price of 12. That's a bargain at any price, I would say. And, you know, we got all kinds of stuff over there. Obviously, a lot of World Junior stuff is going on. But we're also getting into, you know, really honing in on the draft stuff now that World Juniors is over. So head on over there. Find out about all your team's prospects and who they're going to draft and all that kind of stuff. And then also go to the Puck Soup Patreon, patreon.com/PuckSoup. And you'll get all kinds of bonus episodes, hockey, other stuff. Me, Sean McIndoe, Sean Gentile, Greg Balernsky. I don't know. Do I want to still do that bit? I guess I don't.
Hey, speaking of which, can we give a special shout out to our friend Gorg?
Yeah, he had a little baby daughter over the weekend.
Gorg Jr., I believe, was the name.
And a beautiful name it is.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in the business of giving out my friends' babies' names.
Yeah.
So, big shout out to Greg. Big shout out to the baby. The baby is allowed to be on the podcast, by the way.
Okay.
That's unlike good. Greg. Mm-hmm. The it's not a like family thing. We could have the baby on at any time. But
that baby has never experienced a Toronto Maple Leafs win.
Long may it continue, I say. Thanks so much, folks. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.